power of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. When the Lord manifests His power, He does so to work upon us. Sometimes He operates on things that are in our spirit or in our heart, in our minds, sometimes our body. Sometimes He deals with other forces from other sources. The enemy and the one who hates our souls. But God doesn't waste any energy. He sends forth His Spirit to work in us, to draw us ever closer to Himself. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of might. When the Lord touches His people, it's not just to make us feel good, although it does feel marvelous. There are pleasures at His right hand forevermore. But God does mean business. Things happen. He does burn out dross. He does burn out the things that hinder us from coming to Him. Sometimes there are things that we accumulate from one day to another. Sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes we just desire to come into His wonderful presence and can't. We try, we make the effort, but find we can't. Well, that's when the power of the Lord comes to assist us. Breaks through in the invisible world for us to be able to flow with Him. There is a grace of God over our life and spirit. There is a grace of God over our life. And I'd like us just to sing the words to this song that we were singing. I receive You now. Jesus, I receive You now. And now isn't just this second. Now is tonight. Now is that moment in our life. Now is the day we're living. I receive You now. The day that His Spirit is moving upon the earth, I receive Him. I receive You now. And all that You have for me during this move of Your Spirit in the world, I receive it. I receive His healing. I receive His fires of cleansing. I receive the fires of the baptism of the Spirit. I receive the fires of the cloven tongues. I receive the power of the grace of this God who moves in us of light and understanding. I receive You now. Jesus, I receive. The Holy Spirit sent to us. Such a marvelous day as this is. Such a marvelous day as this is. I receive You now. Lord, I receive You now. Jesus, I receive You now. I just receive You now. I just receive You now. Jesus, I receive. I just receive You now. I receive You now. Jesus, I receive You now. Hallelujah. The anointings of the Lord are sent to prepare our hearts, to prepare a way. For the Spirit of the Lord's moving on the earth. The Lord always targets a certain group of people when the times or seasons of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. He targets certain people. And I want us to look at what people are the ones that he sends this grace, the rain, the outpouring of his Spirit, the flow, the life of this water that comes from heaven. I won't be long, but I just feel to share on this tonight. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. That's verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in this desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and every hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I want to read it again and just add a few words for us to better understand what the prophet is saying. He's saying that there is a voice of him that crieth. The word crieth here is not as one who cries with tears, but as one who cries out like this, shouts aloud, crieth out. But I want you to notice for just a moment where. Where is this voice crying out? The voice came to Moses in the wilderness. The wilderness was the place of revelation for Paul. It was the place of the outpouring of the Spirit upon John the Baptist. The Spirit that had filled him in the womb of his mother before he was ever born. The Spirit of revelation and of wisdom that rested upon him, a fearful prophet. Wilderness is a place of solitude. Wilderness can be a place that's high or low, but they're abandoned places where there's no accompanying of anything else but where we're alone. You cannot go into the presence of the Lord accompanied by others. You can only go alone. There are certain things in life, in the Christian walk, that are reserved for those who are alone. There are times in your life where you stand alone. When the Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon the earth, no one can really help you. It's between you and God. No one can have an experience for you. No one can share an experience with you. The only way they could share it all is if they have received of the Lord and you have received of the Lord fairly much the same thing, and then you can identify with them, but you cannot share. It's not mixed up. I want you to understand where this voice speaks. As long as the mind is distracted, as long as you're sharing the thing with someone else, the ambient, the moment, you cannot hear that voice. For that voice only speaks in the wilderness. There is a voice that speaks only in the wilderness. There is a voice that can be heard only by those that traverse, that cover the territory of wilderness. None of us like wildernesses. None of us like those moments in our life really where we walk alone. We would truly much prefer to share it with other people. You can come to church. The Lord will speak in church, but He'll speak to you. And what He speaks to you, no one around you can really hear. There is a voice that speaks in the wilderness. But let's go on. This voice cries out, prepare the way of the Lord. First of all, it means that the Lord is on His way. Second of all, we are asked that. Those who traverse the wilderness are asked to prepare the way for the Lord. There are those to whom God comes. But first, there has to be a preparation. What is that preparation? Prepare the way of the Lord. Many times the Lord sends His Holy Spirit, but people don't receive Him. Many times God sent His Son, but He was not accepted nor received by those to whom He was sent. Many times the Lord sent His prophets, which spoke on His behalf, and they were not accepted. Not just once, not twice, not thrice, but so many, many times. And so this voice cries out, prepare ye. Who is ye? People that lived back there in Isaiah's time? What does the Spirit say through the voice of this prophet tonight to us? Who are the ye that are hearing this word? We are. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I don't find anyone in here that I particularly feel is against this and that wouldn't want to prepare the way of the Lord, and so I see no reason to have to defend this. But rather, I find that in our heart there's perhaps the same question there was in mine when I read it, and I saw that I was asked to do something, and I didn't know what that something really was or how to go about it. Even if I wanted to prepare a way for the Lord, because I desired the Lord, and because I heard that voice. And if you're distracted by that which is around you, you won't hear that voice tonight. You have to stand alone between you and God tonight to hear that voice that's saying to you, prepare the way for the Lord. The very first thing He is asking is to prepare the way of the Lord, and the second is to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In other words, the Lord is coming. We're not talking about the second coming. This isn't doctrine. The Lord personally coming to you must be preceded by a preparation in your and my spirit. Make straight a path for the Lord to come straight to you. Make straight a path for the Lord to come straight to you. Dig a branch off this river, a canal, so that when the waters flood it, you'll have waters over here on your garden. Because the water is going to come, but it's going to go downstream. The only thing that's going to get it into your garden is what the path that you've made. Make straight a highway for the Lord. You have no idea how many times I've seen the Holy Spirit descend upon a meeting in tremendous and powerful way, and yet people leave that meeting without a touch from God, and many times I've gone home weeping. I go home weeping more times than I go home otherwise, because first of all, I thank Him for what He does, but then I think of all the people who couldn't touch through to that, to the marvelous Spirit of the Lord that was there that day. And I cannot understand how it is that God can be so close and some people leave so dead and so untouched and leave the way they came in. I just have no way of understanding this. This is the beginning of the answer to this. God says, prepare a way for the Lord, because when I come, I'm going to walk upon the straight path. If you've made a path from the wilderness to you, I'll walk on it. but make a straight highway, make a straight path to you. In the wilderness, make a straight path. You see, the congregation is a place where a lot of us are. The wilderness is a lonely place, a solitary place. Can you understand this? When you come in the meeting, you come alone. You may sit by your wife, you may have your children with you, but you stand before God alone. We are the body of Christ. He manifests himself in the midst of his body. But what you will take home depends on the pathway that you made between him and God. If you're just sitting there observing what's going on, you're not building a pathway. How can we make this pathway? Let's read on. Every valley, what is a valley? It's a low place. Valleys aren't known to be high. Different than a wilderness that we normally think of as open area and low spaces. Wilderness, there can be wilderness places up on mountaintops, plateaus. They don't necessarily have to be low, but a valley is low. It is said, every valley, the low depressions, the low place, shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill, which is place of haughtiness, pride, dignity, criticism, shall be made low. Now this is what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, make a straight path for me to walk onto you, but if I find it's a highway, I'm going to bring it down. If I find it's a low way, I'm going to bring it up. One of the worst ways you could come to God is to be in a meeting where the Lord is moving and try to judge what's going on, or try to come up here from the plane of I know everything. Try the valley. Try the low place. Try the humility of spirit. Try that something marvelous that happens when you come and say, Lord, I've never seen you move this way. Or maybe you've seen him move that way 100 times before. But you're sitting there and you're saying, Lord, how come you always touch John? Every time John comes to church, you touch him. Why can't you touch me? Why don't you touch me? What is there so bad about me you don't like? What is there? I've got it all. Good looks. Money. He said, if I find but a high little bump on your road, I'm going to bring it down. But if I find something low, I'm going to lift it up. I hear when I'm alone with God, when my heart is tuned into him, and all the distractions are out and all the rest of the things are out, I begin to hear a voice that's saying to me, I want you to prepare a way for me to walk on straight to you. And make sure that that way doesn't have any high things in it, because I'm going to bring them down. I want to see low places. I want to see depressions. I want to see valleys. I'll fill those up. The crooked said, make a straight way. The crooked bunny trails. You know, so often when you're mixed up, when you're confused, when you don't like something, and as we say in simple English, you're bent out of shape over something, whatever that means. When something isn't right and there's mixture in there in our spirit, when the way is crooked, the Lord said, before I can walk on it, I have to straighten it out. Before he will walk in it, I have to straighten it out. Every valley shall be exalted, but every mountain and hill, the place of haughtiness, pride, dignity, criticism, high place, shall be made low. He didn't ask us to do that. He said he would. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough, the uncultured, the unrefined. You see, God doesn't have as much problem as with this as some so-called dignified people. But God does something with the rough. He says, the rough places shall be made plain. And I want to explain something to you tonight. that there is no rougher area you can travel over than the realm of the mind. God will only walk in the plain places. Keep it simple. Anytime we leave that area of just absolute childlike simplicity, the Lord will not walk. You walk alone. And so many of us want God's touch and wonder why it always seems to escape us. Why he walked straight to someone that was standing right by me and somehow missed me. The Lord said, prepare. The voice said, prepare a way for the Lord. Do you believe for a moment that because the Spirit is moving upon all the earth, it's going to move on you, that he is going to move upon you? Do you think that because God sends a visitation of his Spirit to the earth, that because you're in the earth, you will receive that visitation and that the Holy Spirit will do something in you? Well, you're wrong if you think that. You will live a lifetime and die and never know a touch of the Holy Spirit. There are conditions. There are certain groups of people. There are certain types of people that he looks for. First of all, the simple, not the complicated and complex, but the simple. Not the ones that are in a meeting trying to figure it out, but the ones that are just there letting God move. Those that have a straight path for him to walk on. The ones that are lowly. The ones that come in and say, Lord, here I am. I need you now. In that simplicity of a child. Now that's a road he's going to walk on. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17, it speaks about the mountains and the hills, and it says this, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of man shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. God doesn't move upon us to exalt us. God moves upon us to exalt himself. When the Lord comes, he's going to walk in the low places. He will lift them up. The poor, the needy, the thirsty, the hungry. Those are the ones he's going to touch. Those are the ones that he will walk straight to. The rest he will put away or put down or walk by. The voice is telling you tonight, what are the conditions that he looks for? Because he's no respecter of person. But he does observe the paths that he walks on. He walks in the paths of holiness. You want God to walk through you. Wash in the blood when you come into church that night. And chances are tremendous that upon that cleansed spirit, the holy dove should rest himself. You know, we are asked to do that. He doesn't do that for us. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down and the haughtiness of man shall be brought low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted. I think of Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. And you'll find in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, that he was a leper. But he was incensed. He was angry because he had to humiliate himself to go down and wash in a muddy old river. And he didn't like that. He had to come down to be able to come up. He had to go down into that stinking river and 7 times. And he refused to. He said, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know that I'm the captain of the host of the king of Syria? How is it then that he says to me, go down and wash thyself in Jordan? This man was furious. But until he went down, he never met his healer. Let me take you to another scene here. Let me take you to the scene that's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. That's Jesus, the captain of the hosts of heaven. at the same banks, at the same river of Jordan. He comes down into those waters, the King of Kings, the captain of the host of the mighty God of heaven, gets down into that mucky river and says to John, I must be baptized of you. John says, no. I said, how can I? He said, I must. Now here's the difference. I want to show you something. The moment Jesus was baptized in Jordan, as he came straightway out of the waters, the Holy Ghost descended out of heaven in the form of a dove and rested upon him. A straight way from heaven to him. Why? Lowliness. Lowliness. Until Naaman came into that lowliness, he couldn't receive. There wasn't a straight way into heaven. God is saying, you want me to come to you. I come to those that are lowly. I come to the places that are depressed and low. I fill those, but the haughty I'll bring down. I find it so amazing how when God moves, there are literally people present. And I travel many places around the world, and it never fails. I always find a people that are there present when God is moving, and they've got it all figured out. What's God, what's the devil, and what's everything else? But they're not there receiving. They're up here, and all the rest of us are down there. How did we get there? How is it that the King of Kings can come down and humiliate himself and bow down and just be washed in the muddy river, and yet a human being had a hard time doing that and almost walked away because it said he turned his chariots and left the place and repented halfway while he was going. Or he would have left without the touch of God that would have changed his life and given him really his life on earth. He almost walked away from it. Why? I'm not going to get that low. That's for lowly people. Well, friends, everything that God will ever do on earth is only for the lowly. Listen to this voice in the wilderness tonight. Isaiah predicts in his 35th chapter in the first verse, 35:1, the wilderness, the solitary place, shall be glad. Where is he predicting that this gladness, that this joy will be revealed? In the wilderness. Some people say, well, I'm just waiting for God to come to me. Friend, try this. Get down low enough. Get to that place where you stand alone with God and you're not standing with all the rest of them. Where it's just you and God. Lord, I need you now. And the wilderness and the solitary place shall know gladness. Shall know gladness. It shall blossom, verse 2, abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing. Glory shall fill Lebanon. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. It says, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of the Lord our God. This would make a sermon just in itself, this one verse. The meaning of it. The beauty of it. Carmel is a place of fire. Sharon, the place of beauty. Beauty always follows the fire. They shall see the glory. Fire, beauty, and glory. Rejoicing, for it shall blossom. The beauty of it was in a blossoming, beautiful garden. And it shall blossom abundantly. Blossom is what comes just before the fruit. Why? Where? When? Why? Because God speaks it so. When we prepare the way for the Lord and make a way straight to us. When? Now. Tonight. Any moment. Any day. For it is a day of the Lord. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, God will come with vengeance. For who? Listen to this. To those that are of a fearful heart, he will come. He will come with vengeance. Not upon those that have a fearful heart. He will come for those that have a fearful heart. With vengeance over their enemies. God likes the whole atmosphere of weakness, of lowliness, of straightforwardness. And not this, do you love the Lord? Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. Yet you murmur and complain all day long for everything he does. That's not truthful. That's not straightforwardness. That's devious and dubious. God likes that which is straight. Not when you're trying to figure it out with your brain, but the simplicity of it. When the Holy Spirit's moving, sometimes the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, will command them to do something. He says, I can't. What do you mean you can't? How could God ask you to do something you could not do? One of these days, I'm going to preach on, and I've been tempted to two or three times now, but so I'm close. It's going to be right pretty soon. On the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Because so many people have so many problems. But I'll give you one little nugget tonight to put in your little pouch. You'll need a lot more to make something pretty. But this is the first one. When you come to God in simplicity and you don't try to figure it out, just what we spoke tonight, prepare the way of the Lord in that simplicity, plain place. Plain, not complicated. Plain. It means like this. No bumpy areas. Plain. No rough areas. Plain. When I find that I need to hear from God, the last thing in the world I'd ever dream of doing is fasting and praying and pushing. I just relax and walk away from it because when I'm quiet, God always speaks. I'm busy with this and busy with that. I'm busy trying to figure it out. Oh, I'm anxious to hear from God. The more anxious you become, the less you'll ever hear from God. You'll live one anxiety attack after another one, but you won't hear from God. You want to hear from God? Drop it. Forget it. Let it go. Forget it. Just let your spirit come into total quietness, peace. How can I do it? I have to hear from God. Well, if you don't, you never will. Just cool it. And as you begin to relax, the still small voice is there. It's been speaking to you all along. You've just been making too much noise, snorting, fretting. Can you hear this? The reason why so many of you don't speak in tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is because you've got all that going on. I will walk on the road of the plain place, uncomplicated. And I want to say something else to you. There's no one that knows how to speak better in tongues than the Holy Ghost. He's been doing it for thousands of years, not just hundreds or tens, but thousands of years. When the Holy Spirit's in a meeting, don't say, I don't know how to speak in tongues. He's not asking you to. He's asking you to let him. And he's quite capable of doing it after so much practice. And he can do it in so many different kinds and dialects, you wouldn't believe it. How in the world can God ask you to do something that's divine? God never did ask us to do anything that was divine. He never did ask us to do anything that was beyond our power to do. How can anybody gibber around in tongues? Of course you could if you wanted to. Do you know what people that have said to me? That they cannot speak in tongues. I'll guarantee one thing. that more than any other person that walks the face of the earth, they mumble, they grumble, and they complain. And I will guarantee that none of you standing around them can understand a word they say. Well, what do you think that is? You say, I can't speak in there. What do you think that is? My God, what's wrong with us? Why can't we just open? Why can't we just do what we said to the Holy Spirit tonight? I yield myself to your Spirit. Let Him speak through you. Let Him prophesy through you. Let Him flood your heart with His joy. Let Him rejoice through you. Let Him do what He knows He can do. And just be simple. Absolutely simple. And just make a way for Him to walk through you in. A way of loneliness, uncomplications, simplicity, need. Just simple. Just let God. He's been doing it for so many hundreds of years. Why couldn't He do it with one more person? Do you think He strikes out after 1 million people? How utterly ridiculous and preposterous. Isaiah 35:5, I continue reading here. Actually, I'll go back to 4. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even the God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Now, when He does come, whose eyes get opened? Jesus said to the Pharisees, because you say that you see, you are blind. But this man, who claimed to be blind, now sees. Do you know who are the people that have revelation, understanding, and light, whose eyes are really opened? Those who know they're blind. Those who act like they're blind. Those who know that they're blind. You know, in college, you always know the people that know the most. They're not the professors. Do you know where they are? Freshmen. They know everything there is to know. You wondered why they even bothered to go to college. Why didn't they just go and teach directly? They seem to know everything. They can argue with the professors after the first hour of the first class the first year about anything. It doesn't matter what. Now, by the time they're sophomores, they know how much more there is to know. Now they know that there's a little that they don't know. By the time they get to senior year, they know just how big this all is, and they only have a little tiny piece of it with all they do know. After they have about 20 years of life, after they graduate from college, they know they don't know anything. Life's so big. To the blind, their eyes shall be opened. Are you getting this whole idea tonight? Say, God, come to me. You could yell until you're blue in the face. What's the voice saying to you? Prepare a way and I'll come. Prepare me a way. Well, Lord, what do you want? Quit fussing with me. Quit coming to me on this level. Come down to me in that one, down in the depressions, in the low places. I'll pick that up. Come to me as someone that doesn't know anything, and I'll teach you. Come as someone that's poor and needy, and I'll visit you. Come as me as someone that's blind. Take the rough places, make it plain, keep it simple. And I'll walk right straight to you. So, Lord, why do you always go to them? He's telling you why. He's telling you how He will come to you. Then the lame, verse 6. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart in the tongue of the dumb. None of those here. Shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out. And streams in the desert. Folks, where does God really move? In the wilderness. In the places most people wouldn't bother to go. They're city dwellers. Everything, all the city comforts, all the creature comforts, the wilderness. Lord, I can't come on Wednesday. I can only come on Sunday. City dweller. Creature comforts. God, I'm here now. It's Sunday. Where are you? He said, I was here on Wednesday. Where were you? Are you hearing this? In the wilderness, waters will flow. When you least expect it. In the darkest and coldest of night, in the hardest time to come. He said, I'll move then. Just make a way for me because I'll come. Verse 7, same chapter, 35. On the parched ground, that's the cracked, divided, hardened. He said, that's the place that I'll make sure becomes a pool. Who's going to get the most water? The cracked places. Have you ever been out in the countryside and you see these big areas with what looks like very dry mud, all cracked and parched? That's telling you something. That's telling you that one time it had water. That is a waterway. That's the bottom of a shallow lake. That had water one time and now doesn't. When you have water, and then you use that water and the place dries up, the Lord says, I'll give them more water. The parched areas, I'll make sure they continue being a pool, a lake. Then he continues saying, and the thirsty land, the parched ground, the thirsty land shall become springs of water. The places of habitation of dragons, the demonic, where each of them lay, shall be grass and reeds and rushes. Now here's a picture that the prophet is painting. Look at the landscape. He said, all the high mountains, all those that are up in the clouds, all the religious folks, he said, I'll walk right by them. They'll never know I came. All the rough people are always against everything. I'll walk right by them. All the complicated people, I'll walk right by them. All the people that can't come down to the bottom where the lowly places are. Like one man said one time, he said, no one's going to come and make carpets of us for people to walk over. We're not going to fall into the power. Well, don't. But then when you haven't heard from God, when the Spirit doesn't move on your life, when you become a parched wilderness, don't wonder why. Think of Naaman. He'd have died a leper, but thank God he didn't, because he changed his mind. And in meekness and lowliness, went back in obedience to what the Spirit had demanded of him to do. And when he became lowly, he became healthy. If our Creator and Lord could get down low, then we should too. God is saying the low places, the deserted areas, the places where Lot wouldn't have chosen, the wildernesses, Moriah. Those are the places where these people like Abraham met God. That's where God was. They didn't just accidentally run into God. He dwelt in the wilderness where God was. Moses met God in the wilderness. Those times of your life when you're alone. When spiritually everything goes wrong. The habitation of dragons. When you haven't seen water for a while and your soul is thirsty. It's the hungry that he feeds. It's the thirsty that he gives waters to. Hear the Spirit tonight. So many people, when God moves, are not hungry and thirsty. He said, the thirsty land will find the springs of water. The parched ground will find that it will become a pool, for I will cause these waters to flood the low places. Are you looking for God to touch you? Are you wanting His Spirit to flow on you? Have you gone to church for tens of years? Decades, maybe. You wonder why you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, why you can't speak in tongues when everybody else does. Because if you are, hear the voice that's crying in the wilderness tonight, showing you how you can, how you will. This is God's guarantee. It works. I have not ever seen the Holy Spirit in a meeting turn down someone that came hungry. Never. I have never seen the Holy Spirit turn away from a person that came thirsty. I have never seen the Holy Spirit turn away from a person that came lowly and humble. But I've seen Him again and again turn away from people who try to figure it out, sit there and try to judge the place, that go to meeting after meeting after meeting and are there like they've got it all. God just misses them every time. And after months goes by, they say, well, you know, maybe that was God moving. He's gone. It's like I said to you, some of you are going to dive in the pool when somebody pulled the plug. The whole idea was to dive in the water and have fun, not end up in the hospital with concussions. Why do you wait? The Holy Spirit is moving in a marvelous way in the United States, in Central America, in South America. Marvelous ways. Prepare the way of the Lord, because that's between you and Him. No one can do that for you. While you try to make an issue of it and get even more anxious, okay, God, I'll do whatever. Nah, forget it. Sit down day after day after day when your wife cooks you a meal. Sit down at the table and say, I will eat it, I will eat it, and then leave. Come back the next day, I will eat it, I will eat it. That's what we look like when we come to church. Okay, God, whatever you say. When you leave hungry. You know why? Because your arthritis is so that you can't bend your elbows and try eating without being able to bend your elbows. And the only way you're going to eat, be fat and healthy, is for somebody else to feed you. You say, no one's going to feed me. I'm not 2 years old. Well, now 2 years old don't want anybody feeding me either. 2 months old. No one's going to put a bottle in my mouth. Forget it. No one's going to spoon feed me. No way. Well, you proud little thing. Go hungry. But there's something good about that. When you're hungry, you don't care if you get spoon-fed, bottle-fed, intravenously fed. You just want to eat. You quit being fussy. You say, God, I'm going to die if I keep this on. He's saying, well, that's just it. You're dying, slowly dying. Get plugged in. So you can't eat like a man. So you can't eat like a woman. So you can't stand up and eat by yourself. I'll heal you someday. For now, just learn what it's like to be spoon-fed. And get some of that pride put down below your pocket levels. Stomp on it. Get rid of it. Habitation of devils. Oh, God, I've been so knocked around by devils lately. Please help me. He wants to. He wants to. The day of vengeance of God upon all your enemies. Why are we in habitations of dragons? Those are the very people that God comes to help. Verse 8, a highway shall be there. A highway shall be there. What highway is this? The one we've made. A way. It shall be called the way of holiness. Oh, the unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, even the wayfaring men, even though he be a fool. Most people have to act like one before God will do anything for him anyway. He said they won't err therein. they won't err therein. But no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be found there, but the redeemed, none shall be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. I want to finish up here. Verse 10. Verse 9 says, the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. Where? In that straight way, the way of holiness. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy. Now, this is the same context of the rest you hear. Don't just pull this one verse out of here. So they shall return and they shall come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. See, everybody wants verse 10, but it's the picture the prophet paints before that gets you to 10. Is it all that difficult? No, it's not. And he said, the redeemed of the Lord, or the ransomed here it says of the Lord, shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy. Where were they? In the wilderness. Where are you when you're not in the wilderness? It's when God brought you out of the lonely place, out of the wilderness, into Zion, the mountain of the Lord. He said, I will exalt that which is low. Who are those that were on Mount Zion? Who are those in the presence of the Lord? They are the lowly, because he lifted them up into the Zion. I'll tell you one thing, you can never get to Zion. You can't plow your way into the presence of God. He alone, by his Spirit, will take you. And he only takes the lowly. We're all there. This is what the Lord is saying to all of us. You come to the place where you don't think you know it all, and you just let the Lord move upon your life as he is, and just trust him. And then things begin to happen in your life. There's a highway built between you and God, and he starts walking it, and things start happening in your life. You ask someone, well, how did you get to Mount Zion? What's the road? Show me the secret. How can I show you when I don't know myself how I got there? Somebody exalted me. Well, where's the elevator? I don't know. Who transported you? Well, the Spirit of the Lord. Well, why won't he transport me? What formula did you use? Well, I don't know. What words did you use? I don't know. Ask Robert. How many times we've been all just transported into the presence of God. Hasn't this happened to you? When right from here, someone just prayed through and touched through into heaven. And that person standing before you was on Mount Zion in the beautiful places of the presence of God. And you went, how'd they get there? If you just follow, you'll go. With brokenness, they got there. With simplicity, they got there. With dependency, they got there. With hunger, they got there. With thirst, they got there. With need, they got there. So quickly. It was a straight way, a highway, straight into the heart of God. Because there was hungry. There was hunger. They started the very service just saying, Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. And the Spirit begins to flow. You say, wow, what a formula. Oh, folks, it's not a formula. It's a hungry heart. He said, prepare ye a way for me to walk to you on. A path of hunger, a path of lowliness, a path of simplicity, a path that's uncomplicated, uncrooked, just straight. Try coming to me as someone who's blind. Forget this I see business. Come to one who's lame. Because the lame shall dance and prance around the heart on the top of mountains. You want to go to the top of mountains, go down the valley and get transported. This is an hour of a visitation of the Spirit. It's so simple. Read this over again. Because the voice crying in the wilderness is showing you the secret of how you can come in. Your chains can be completely broken. Your years of hysteria over not being able to be flooded with the joy of the Spirit can be over with in a second. In just but moments, all those inhibitions build up by not being able to speak in tongues, and all the scenarios you build up can just vanish. And God visits you in just a moment's time. But God is asking us to do something, and that's prepare Him a way so that He can come to you on it. Just that simple. And for just a moment, would you please just bow your head? I won't keep you here very long. I want you just to absorb this. I want for just a moment for you to ask the Lord if this was something for you tonight. I see so many of you struggling. This is a word for you. Prepare you. Prepare a way for the Lord to come to you. Yes, it is work, but it's not the work you think it is. It's certainly not striving. Certainly not fasting and praying. There is a place for that. For now, you might as well have it. But I'll say this to you. There is a power in hunger that's greater than anything you can imagine. It'll move the heart of God. Genuine hunger moves the heart of God. Genuine thirst moves the Holy Spirit. Genuine need moves the Son of the Living God. Remember that. Every time he came across someone genuinely needy, it says in the scripture he had compassion on them. The Son of the Living God had compassion on them and healed them. He touched them. The Holy Spirit began to flow through every life that was thirsty. Come unto me and drink, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Holy Spirit. Come thirsty. And then when the waters begin to flow, you'll drink. Instead of sitting there wondering what to do, you'll drink just because there's such a famish, thirst. Quench this thirsting of my soul, we sing. Hunger after righteousness, and he will fill you. Come lowly and God will meet you. Come with unpretentious, uncomplicated, and you will find him. Even a worldly man, even a person that doesn't know the way, even fools, they cannot err there because God will meet you in the way. And I ask tonight, Lord, that you would minister to every single person here tonight that's been struggling. And this word that you've put upon my heart to speak is directed to each and every one of them. This night, tonight. This is that night. This is your night. Because God's ministering to you. God's saying to you, I want to show you the way so you can make it. so that I can come to you. He's not asking you to fast and pray. Perhaps the easiest is just to be honest with yourself. The need is there. The hunger is really there. The thirst is really there. Put away the angers and frustrations. Put away to one side trying to figure everything out. Abandon the whole idea of trying to figure everything out. And just present yourself to the living God. Say, Lord, here I am. I need you. Without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. That's how simple it is. God is speaking to you. If you know it, I want you to get up out of your chair and come here, and the rest, I just don't want you to open your eyes, please. It's just something between them and God. But God is speaking to many of you tonight. I want you to come. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make ready the way of the Lord. Make ready the way of the Lord. Say, Lord, I've complicated this so much that it's just one big trauma for me anymore. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. What to man is impossible, to God is totally possible. He is the one that laughs. I was reading just today the portion of the Daily Light, and it struck me because it said, joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit spoke to me. I'd no longer read but more than just those five words. And the Spirit spoke to me. He said, how could you have joy outside of me? Joy is in me. Joy in the Holy Ghost. I am the one that rejoices through you. I am the one that joys through you. In the same portion later on, Jesus spoke and he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. My joy. The joy that's in me might remain in you. Philippians 4:4, same portion for today, this morning. Rejoice in the Lord. That joy of the Holy Ghost is in the Spirit of the Lord. You can't have it without that. The Holy Ghost is the only one that can rejoice through you, so why do you try so hard to do it? How can you when it's in the Holy Ghost? He is the only one that can rejoice. He is the only one that can laugh through you. He is the only one that can speak in tongues through you. He is the only one that can prophesy through you. He is the only one that can glorify the Father through you. He is the really only one that can praise through you. For the rest, is just the works of man. So why do we try? Why our efforts are in vain? And that is why such tragic frustration, because we try. God wants you to quit trying. God wants you to let Him try. God wants you to let Him flow. God wants you to let Him speak, to let Him laugh, to let Him rejoice. To let Him be holy in you. To let Him be your righteousness. For He can. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Let Him. Let Him. Let Him. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.